Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, friends. Tonight's show is the first official Forbidden Knowledge News premium episode, which is available in its entirety at ForbiddenKnowledge.news. Don't worry, I will still upload tons of full free episodes here on YouTube and my podcasts, as well as previews of all the premium episodes. Now, content that has now been consistently banned, censored, and considered controversial by Google, Facebook, YouTube, and other mainstream platforms will only be available on the premium site. But my site not only gives you access to new premium episodes, but every show that has either been removed or I've been unable to show on YouTube is already there, waiting to be watched right now on the premium site. And coming soon, I will also have my own social media platform, an uncensored Facebook for truth seekers, as well as contests, giveaways, access to next year's FKNCon, and much more. Memberships are only $6.99 a month, and you can get a full year for $69.99, and it also gives you free access to Forbidden Knowledge NewsCon 2021. I have one more announcement before we start the show tonight. Forbidden Knowledge NewsCon 2020 can now be downloaded from the site as well. You can download the entire four-day conference for only $24.99, and each day is only $6.99. Go to ForbiddenKnowledge.news right now or click the link in the description to get access to all the premium episodes and much more, and download your copy of Forbidden Knowledge NewsCon. Like I said, there's already plenty of never-before-seen episodes waiting for you to watch right now at ForbiddenKnowledge.news or click the link in the description to start your membership now. Welcome back to Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm your host, Chris Matthew. Tonight, I want to welcome back to the show Corey Hughes and Charlie Robinson. Corey's my co-host, researcher, and expert on the JFK assassination and government psychological warfare. Charlie is author, researcher, and host of Macroaggressions on the David Icke Network. Gentlemen, welcome back. How are you both tonight?
Glad I'm not living in Seattle.
here. Yes, welcome back. Before we get started tonight, I want to thank our new sponsor, Curiosity Stream. Curiosity Stream is award-winning destination for documentary series and features covering every topic from space exploration to adventure and how-to series. With thousands of titles, including exclusive originals, Curiosity Stream delivers shows across the full spectrum of nonfiction genre to demystify science, nature, history, technology, society, lifestyle, and more. Satisfy your thirst for knowledge anytime and anywhere with Curiosity Stream. Just click the link in the description to start your subscription today. They start at only $2.99 a month. Tonight, gentlemen, we're going to discuss what may be going on with this new wave of social disorder and most likely engineered chaos, or a good portion of it. And I want to start by saying something that I posted on Facebook earlier and a couple of other social media. It's that humanity needs to wake up and think for themselves. We were all blessed with free will and the ability to think freely. But for some reason, most of us don't utilize this ability. It's so much easier for the news, media, TV, celebrities, group mobs, politicians, world leaders, social media influencers, religious groups, and even artificial intelligence to tell us what and how to think. And so many still blindly believe and follow what the mainstream is telling us to believe and what everyone else believes just because we've been taught to think this way since we were born. We're all being manipulated to turn against each other right now. It's like none of us have even heard the term divide and conquer, problem, reaction, solution. And we're all being used as puppets. We're tools, we're weapons, we're cattle, we're useful workers for the 1%. And we're not even considered as conscious human beings. I think we have experienced the end of the world as we knew it already, and things will never be the same. The question is, are we going to do anything to make it better than it was? Are we going to lose our freedom and sovereignty forever? It's really time for everyone to wake up. And I want to get your guys' thoughts on this. Let's start with Corey. What are your thoughts on everything going on?
Is he there?
Did we lose Corey?
It looks like he's dropped off.
Corey has dropped off. All right, we'll start with you, Charlie.
I'll jump in there. It's funny. You're talking about your getting demonetized by YouTube and the need for the push into a premium channel. And we just got a group of people together this last Monday, and a 30-person batch of podcasters and content creators on a Zoom call. And together, all of us were trying to discuss and start the dialogue about what to do with these social media platforms that are kicking us off and demonetizing us and shadow banning us and throttling our content and all of that stuff. So it was set up by me, Sam Tripoli, Ricky Verandas from Ripple Effect, and Midnight Mike from OBDM. And then we put the word out Ricky put the word out to all of his people and wound up pulling in James Corbett and Ben Swan and the Conspiracy Farm guys and those conspiracy guys out of Ireland. And we had, we'd had people all over the world jumping in on this call. And we were trying to figure out how we were going to, what we're going to do, what's the next step. But it was, people can find that on my YouTube channel, Macroaggressions, or you can go to OBDM podcast on YouTube and watch it there. But it's called the Union of the Unwanted. It was the sort of joking title that we gave ourselves. And if people want to kind of get up on, get up to speed on what's happening to the alternative media on these social media and video sharing platforms and what we can do to break free from it. Because there were some really smart people having some very technical conversations that went way over my head. So if you're a techie type of guy and you're into the social, the alternative media being silenced, go watch that video because you may be able to help in this. We're trying to pull in the smartest people we can find to find a strategy that works to get around this, because clearly our content is valuable and it's really pissing off some important people because they're going out of their way to try and silence us by demonetizing you. So what do you have to do? You have to start your own premium channel, which frankly was probably in the works before all of this and well warranted. So people are going to pay for it and they're going to support you because they know you have a great reputation and your content speaks for itself, and people are willing to pay for that as opposed to taking their chances with the mainstream corporate media. The news is going to be fake. So the paradigm is changing a bit here, and us small little independent content creators, we're going to be really necessary in this transformation from the mainstream corporate media world, which the wheels have totally fallen off in the last 4 months or so with the coronavirus stuff and the riots. They're being exposed as being tremendous liars. And so now people are looking for information. They still want information. They're going to get it somewhere. It's coming to us now in the alternative media. And so I'm really glad to hear that you're opening up this premium component, because that's the direction things are going. And I think you're going to find a lot of people willingly pay for that because they want the information. They want the truth, or as close to the truth as they can get it. And most people are willing to pay a couple bucks a month for that. So good for you. I'm happy for you.
Thank you so much, Charlie. I really appreciate that. Corey, what are your thoughts on, I guess, first the whole, you know, deplatforming of shows and things going on like mine, and then we'll get into some of the social unrest that's going on today.
Sure. Well, it seems as though people are getting banned who touch upon real truth. People who they can still point a finger at as a scapegoat they leave in place, no matter what crazy things they say. You know, I mentioned this at FKNCon, but one of the, to kind of give you an idea of like the intimacy of between the different components of this, you know, international fascist cabal, so to speak, not to be cliche. The CEO of YouTube, her father was a physicist directly connected to Dimona, the nuclear plant in the Negev Desert in Israel, which is the reason that Kennedy got killed in the first place. So my first Kennedy film that I put up didn't even finish downloading before it was banned and I got a strike. It didn't even finish. It was like halfway and I got a notification that it was hate speech. So that's the connection there that should kind of explain how, yeah, there is a conspiracy and everybody's in on it. All these guys at the top all know each other. They're all related to each other. They work with each other familially for, you know, 100 years or more. So none of it is surprising. All of it was predicted long ago. And it's just now starting to come to fruition, which I didn't think it would quite so soon. I thought we'd have another decade at least. But they're seemingly accelerating their plans, not only with the censorship, but with the speed that this COVID-19 thing went. I don't understand what's going on. It seems like they are rushing to meet a deadline almost. It's really strange.
Now, me and Charlie were talking before the show about how we're just kind of disappointed in people in general and the overall reaction to everything going on right now. I want to get each of your thoughts on this new level. It seems like Project COVID didn't work, so now we're going to go to Project Riot or you know, protest. So what are your thoughts on this?
You want to go, Corey?
Sure. What happened to terrorism? Is that not a thing anymore?
No. Terrorism is so 2016.
Hilarious. You know,
we've got a new invisible enemy. You know, the first we had terrorism. Now we have the invisible virus. So there's always an invisible boogeyman.
And the invisible virus that kills a tenth the amount of people that the flu kills. Hilarious. This was a flop. It was, you know, it was either rushed or just constructed by dumb people. And I think it might be a little bit of both. The arrogance is kind of overwhelming. I know I have a solution for everything. I've said this before and I'll say it again. Like, we need a giant meteor to come and cleanse the Earth. In a couple billion years, the Earth will start over and hopefully the next round will do a better job than we have.
Perfect. We can just end the show on that note.
Yep. Oh, well, I tell you, I'm with you, Chris. I've been very disappointed in humanity. I'm not disappointed in the media because I have no expectations for them. They're handling this exactly the way I assumed they would, which is pouring gasoline all over the riots and contradicting themselves left and right with the coronavirus protests. And you got to stay alive. You know, so there's a million different narratives happening all at once right now. It's a crazy time to be, you know, trying to piece all this together because there's so much insanity. You kind of feel like, where do I start? But I think I want to remind people that the riots, the protests are one thing and the riots are another thing. Well, the protests were always talked about as being about George Floyd, and they were pushing back against police brutality and things like that. And sure, that was a large segment of it. But there was also a component of these protesters that were people that over the last 3 months had been cooped up in their house watching on social media videos of mothers taking their kids to the park and getting put in handcuffs and put in police cars by a bunch of crazy asshole cops, and then watching cops arrest people on the beach for standing there, and then watching them pull people out of nail salons for opening their stores and arresting them while simultaneously letting all these maniacs out of prison. And so you know what? There were a lot of people that were pissed off at the cops. It's not just the black community. The white community has a reason to be mad too. You know, everyone's been cooped up, and we're watching this inconsistency in the policing philosophies, where you've got it's fine to go, you know, if the guy's this group of homeless, that's totally fine. But if a mother takes her kid to the park at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and is supervising them, we've got a problem. We've got to get the police here. We've got to put her in handcuffs. We got to take, like, what is going on? So people are seeing this hypocrisy. They're seeing the cops acting like maniacs. We're watching now during this, you know, police excessive force protest, we are seeing the police respond with excessive force. I mean, it's like, they don't even get it. So they're, you know, pepper spraying people as they drive by in cars and things like that, and shooting rubber bullets into crowds with kids. And so what, this is supposed to solve the problem? I mean, I'm not saying that we're going to defund the police completely and they're all going to go away, because my fear with that is that the United Nations comes in, and that would be a fucking disaster if that happened. But we got to get control of these cops, man, because this has been going on for a long, long time. And the culture the culture of keeping this sort of, you know, the thin blue line thing going, man, I just can't get on board with that. When you see some of the, you know, when you have to cover for a guy, you know, wearing a uniform just like yours, but he's doing something that you would never do in a million years, and you have to cover for him. Oh man, I'd have a really hard time doing that. So this police culture's got to change too. And so it's just a nutty time to be, you know, watching all this.
Well, like we were saying, both sides are being ridiculous on this. Like, of course, we need reform for the police. They've gotten out of hand, the brutality, everything over the years. But then on the other side is inciting violence and encouraging, I guess, white people to hate themselves. And there's all this nonsense on both sides that is fueling just the shit show that we're seeing before us. Corey, you were a former police officer. What's your take on that side of it? Can't hear you. Muted.
There's a lot of different angles that I could come at this, but the one thing I'll say that all of it comes down to articulation and what they write in their reports, right, in order for the city and the chief to sign off on it. So basically you have a situation where you have peaceful protesters, and the cops will use something along the lines of, they failed to obey my lawful commands. You know, they'll combine that with the fact that there's a whole lot of people out there. Based on the number of people in the area, you know, we felt that this use of force was warranted to prevent further violence from occurring by the crowd. You know, they'll articulate it something like that. You know, it'll be written out in such a way that makes it seem like they were doing the right thing the whole time. And that I call creative articulation. And that is the one thing that allows the system as a whole to continue to churn on and never fix itself, because it just writes out, you know, whether it's police or government in general, that when you actually read through various documents, or in this case, a police report, you'll find that it's written in such a manner so as to perpetuate current systems in place. So I fucking hate the cops. I can't believe I did it for a cop for like 8.5, almost 9 years. It changes who you are. It destroys you on an emotional level, on a physiological level. It really kind of makes you turn a blind eye to a lot of things, especially your own behavior. It's quite fucked up. I did a really good interview with you on this show a while back. I recommend everyone go listen to that. It's probably one of the better interviews I've done on the subject. The one thing that I keep seeing is that I understand why these cops do what they do, because they're good at taking orders, and that's all they really have. Being a cop becomes your identity, right? And so in a situation like this, your identity becomes challenged. And so you cling to what you're comfortable with. And that's, for them, especially if they've been on a couple of years, they're either a wannabe or they've been on long enough to have fully replaced their identity by that time. So that's another issue that police have to deal with all the time that nobody ever deals with. No one ever talks about it. It's what leads to suicide. 4 times as many cops killed themselves last year as were killed by citizens. There's a major fucking problem there, and nobody's talking about it. Nobody's bringing it up at all. And it needs to be addressed, or things will never change, because as it stands, you can't be a good cop in a bad system. The system is fundamentally broken. And so it's really it's a massive problem that no one's ever going to undertake. And that's why we're having incidents like this, because nobody knows how to solve it. And so when you don't know how to solve a problem, you turn to violence.
Right. Now, I don't like using terms like, you know, left and right or Republicans and Democrats, but, you know, there are two polarized sides to this. The whole thing started because of violence, and the other side is responding with violence. Not only that, but we have some, I believe, some powerful interests that are pushing a certain side of this for their own agendas. Charlie, what are your thoughts on that? There are some organization behind some of these protests, behind some of this Antifa, behind some of these Black Lives Matter groups that are very questionable and concerning to me. What are your thoughts on some of the things that may be going on behind some of the agendas behind this?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people are making the assumption that Soros is involved in this, and they're probably correct. I don't know. But I think that's a safe bet in some way. His money is fueling this. This isn't organic. These were planned. The thing about the events, there's reason to be angry when George Floyd is, you know, his neck is knelt on and he dies there on camera. There's reason to be mad about that. But my question is, there's reason for, you know, protests and all that to spring out of that. But why, where were they during when Tamir Rice was shot or when Eric Garner was choked out? Or where were the, like, why this one particular one right now? Why not the other ones that were as bad, maybe even worse, when you're talking about shooting kids in the back and stuff like that? Why didn't they protest and burn down everything after that? So it becomes, you know, this is where the media plays a big role in this. They determine what is going to be a big deal and what's not. And so if people are saying, well, there's people with money and influence that are playing a role in this, yeah, they own the media. They're playing a role in this just by telling the media to make a big deal of this one murder. I'm not saying it wasn't a big deal. I'm just saying, as opposed to the dozen other big deals and murders that you had to choose from, you picked this particular one at this particular time. Why is that? That all of the media said, we're going to focus on this and make a big deal out of it. And that, because the media can start wars. You think they can't start riots and protests too? That you think they can't make everybody mad enough to just spontaneously want to protest? They absolutely can. Hell, they've talked us into wars. So the media is involved in this. I mean, yes, Soros is probably back there financing Antifa. And Black Lives Matter and all, you know, all these groups, they all have dubious origins. So they're getting money from somewhere. They're not spending it on social programs, so they're using it to grow their operations, obviously. So I'd keep an eye on Soros, but just the fact that the media makes the decisions, and you know who owns the media and who controls that, and that comes from above, that comes from the German Marshall Fund and Bilderberg and Poynter Institute and Council on Foreign Relations and these think tanks, they decide what the agenda is for the year. And the agenda for the year has been fires in Australia, COVID-19, riots, protests, and, you know, maybe mail-in elections by the end of the year. And then the media goes and puts that in place. So we're just seeing the media agenda play out. And it's really frightening, but this is scripted reality. This is our reality that we are experiencing now and will experience in the future is scripted by the media. They will tell us what's important and then we'll all react accordingly and we'll make a big deal about it. We'll do podcasts about it, but it's fucking scripted out for us. So it's like, we just have to turn the page and see what the next event is going to be.
Yeah. They're using our emotions to turn us against each other. What are your thoughts on that, Corey?
Okay, so if this wasn't predictable, I'm going to screen share for a second. Can you enable screen share? screen share for me?
And while you're doing the screen share stuff, I will point out that it was really sketchy the way that all those pallets of bricks just magically showed up on the street corners. I mean, if that doesn't tell you that there's some organization and forethought to this, then I don't have a reasonable explanation for why that would be, unless that was set up because they want to have you pick up the bricks and start throwing them. So yeah, this is not as organic as we might think it is.
There we go. U.S. city bans brutal Israeli military training of police forces. So basically, Israel has been coming here. They've set up numerous organizations, like the other link I sent you, if you want to show that one too. They have these organizations that train American police officers in riot control and things like that. So it's never really much of a mystery when shit's falling apart here in the United States what the cause of it is. It's always them. They have a guy who no one else has really pointed this out, but a guy named Dave Grossman, who is kind of considered the foremost expert. He wrote a book called On Killing, where he talks about how people have an innate resistance to killing, and so that has to be taught to be overcome. Well, I did a full hour and a half show on debunking cops about this. Basically, he got all of his work from a guy named S.L.A. Marshall, who was an OSS stooge in World War II. All of his research on killing resistance in war was all faked. He made up all the data, and this guy Dave Grossman built an entire career propagating myths about having to overcome this resistance to killing in police officers. He's been challenged by numerous real experts, but yet he still does around 250 to 300 dates a year touring the country, teaching various departments that it's okay to kill, that it's good to feel good about killing, and all these things. So this company here, Security Solutions International, back to Dave Grossman real quick. He's a Mossad spy. I really don't want to go into a whole lot more detail on him, but he was sent here to propagate Israeli myths. Same thing with SSI. They are one of many organizations that train American police here in the United States. So you don't really have to go too far to look for a bad guy. This all goes back to the destruction of America to pave the way for their own rise, which will never happen. So that's my opinion on it. And we can thank Mr. Ben-Gurion for that.